apologies, Brian?
Indeed, Chair, we do have apologies. We have an apology from the Honourable Minister Mapisa Nqakula, who is unable to attend due to a previous engagement. We also have an apology from Honourable Lekwase, who has been booked off sick by the doctor. Thank you, Chair. Oh, one other apology. I'm sorry, Chair. It's from Honourable Qebekulu, who is attending the Portfolio Committee on Public Service and Administration.
Okay. Let's record those three apologies. One from the Minister, and the two from the Portfolio Committee members, Lekwase and Ngosi Qebekulu. Colleagues, are there any apologies? Any other apologies that we're overlooking? All right, it doesn't look like there's any further apology. Okay, now let's then tackle the issues. Let me check who is in the department. Who is leading the departmental officials, right? Can I get that information from you? Who's leading the DOT team, Brian?
Chair, I've requested the list from the PLO. He has still not provided me with the list.
Chairperson? Good morning, Chair. Chairperson, the list is in your SMS?
Oh, okay. The list has been forwarded. I just look at SMS. Okay. All right. The team DOD is led by its HOD, Director General Ambassador Sondo Kuju, Dr. Kamede, Major General Ramatswani, General Buhari, Mrs. Chibilika, Mr. Abotsi, Mr. Mkenge, and Ms. C. Van der Berg. That is the team DOD. Let me now recognize the presence of the HOD and the Director General and her team, and then ask her if there are any apologies from her side. Director General? Sorry, SecDef, why am I confusing issues? SecDef, are there any apologies on your side? Ambassador?
We don't have any apologies.
All right.
Okay. We don't have any apologies from our side. Just to add that we also have the DDG from the Secretariat.
I don't see the CFO as part of your team.
CFO is not well.
The CFO is not well. Can you record that as a formal apology, Ambassador?
Yes, please.
All right. We are recording a CFO as having tendered his apology due to him not being well today. All right. No, thank you so much. We want to, we are adopting a position, sector, that the primary people in terms of the PFMA and the Public Service Act and any other prescribed governing financial management, right? It's yourself as an accounting officer, and the next in line is the chief finance officer. you see, so plus any other person that you may delegate to. But the primary persons in terms of financial management, it's yourself and the CFO. I'm sure there's no dispute insofar as that is concerned, Senator.
There
isn't. Thank you so much. Right, Senator, I've welcomed you. And let me then invite you to brief us on your first quarter report. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I would say if we can put the presentation on the screen, I have it on the screen.
Not as yet. Can the sector be assisted? IT?
I think they have it from your side.
From our side. Brian in IT, can you attend to it, please?
We will try to put it up from our side.
Please do. Thanks.
My apologies. Just for a point of clarity in terms of our protocol and morning SecDef, I've heard you refer to ambassador. Is the right protocol to address her as ambassador or as Secretary of Defense? I just want to get the protocol right here and in terms of how she prefers to be addressed and obviously what is the right thing in terms of the Department of Defense and the SANDF. Your guidance is much appreciated. Thank you.
All right. SecDef?
I think SecDef in this environment would be appropriate.
All right. But in another environment, ambassador retired, isn't it? In fact, ambassadors, they carry the title for life, isn't it?
In front of us here, we are doing our presentation to yourself with regard to the our report for the first quarter of this current financial year. On slide number 3, we then give you our presentation structure. If you can move to the next slide. Can we move the slide, please? It's not moving. May I please just find out whether you've got the presentation before you, honorable members? Then maybe we can go page by page. Because it seems that
yes,
the power system is closed at this time. Chairperson, but we don't see the presentation here. I don't know
whether you hear my audible.
Yes, Chair, I can hear you.
Yes, you are.
Hello?
Chair?
Thank you so much. Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Who's that? Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
You are...
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
I think there's a problem with the connectivity. Can you hear me, colleagues? Mr. Mara, can you hear me?
Yes, I do.
Yes, I don't know. That was Miss Dukes who wanted to. Yes, hello?
We can't hear this, or I can't hear the set deck. I can hear you, but there's a lot of noise in the background, but we can't hear the set deck.
Yes, hello?
From our side, Chairperson, we can hear you, we can hear everybody. I think it's from your end there where the problem is.
All right. Let me just check if other colleagues can hear SecDev.
Okay. Chairperson, I can hear the SecDev very clearly, but I see there's a number of our members or the people on the platform whose
Yes, Mr. Mare.
Pardon, sir, I just said that I can hear the sector very clearly, but I see there's a number of people whose microphones are on, and they must switch it off.
Colleagues, those who have mics on, they switch them or mute them.
Chair?
From my side, Mr. Murray, all mics appear to be off. And the IT assistant, what is the position on the side?
Yes, I see.
Yes,
okay, I can hear Mr. Murray also and you. So maybe if the set there, maybe I can hear now. I'll try.
I can hear everybody, Chairperson.
Hello, Brian.
Chair, I can hear you, but your connectivity.
Yes.
You have a connection issue.
All right, fine. Just can you. All right. Okay. Okay. I see. Okay. So my video. And how is it now? Fine. And how am I doing?
I can hear you, sir.
Clearly now.
You are still cutting, sir.
All right, sir.
Chair, I think you must cut your video.
Yes, Chairperson.
All right. I don't know what the problem is now. Brian, how is it now? All right. Hello, Brian.
Chairperson?
How is it now?
It's much better, sir.
Much better. Okay, fine. I'll switch back to iPad.
All right. Please do so.
Okay. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. May I start?
Yes, you may.
And you can see the presentation before you?
Colleagues, can you see the presentation?
Yes. Chairperson.
Okay. It's on now. It's on the screen. You can see it.
That we are making to you this morning. So we look at the legislative requirements in terms of the DOD instruction for 2020-2021. We also look at the amended reporting requirements and then also the additional COVID-19 reporting requirements. Our background focuses on the results-based model. And then on slide number 4, we are then giving the central service performance report. There we analyze the DOD output indicators. We also give the quarter one strategic overview. We also look at the DOD selected performance indicators, as well as looking at the current status of our performance. And then we then go to the first quarterly financial performance information. And then under that, we have then the DOD COVID-19 response expenditure. We also look at the report on the irregular expenditure. And then I see that the following item, you have it as a standalone item, which is the BRRR feedback. So those are the issues that we have. So if we go to slide number 5, the slide number 5 talks to our legislative requirements that in terms of Section 81AI of 1999 of the PFMA, as amended, that the accounting officer of the department must ensure that the department has and maintains effective, efficient, and transparent systems of financial accounting and risk management, as well as having in place the internal controls and a system of internal audit under the control and direction of an audit committee. The next one that we look at is the one of the Treasury relations, which is the Section 5.31 that states that the accounting officer of an institution must establish procedures for quarterly reporting to the executive authority that then facilitates an effective performance monitoring, evaluation, as well as taking corrective measures where it would be necessary. On slide number 6, we look at the revised National Treasury Framework for Strategic Plans and the Annual Performance Plan, which then states that the quarterly performance report must give information about progress on the implementation of the APP of the institution on a quarterly basis, with particular reference to performance against the outputs that would have been set out. The DOD quarterly performance report instruction number 0014 of this 2020 gave effect to the legislative framework applicable on quarterly reports and provided DOD unique guidelines for the compilation of respective quarterly performance reports. Then we also looked at the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, that they also provided guidelines for national quarterly reports. And this guideline states that reporting both on financial and non-financial performance is important in measuring the performance of government institutions. So non-financial information is also essential in as far as it assists in assessing the progress towards the predetermined service delivery performance targets that would have been set. And then on the performance information itself, those guidelines allow us to focus on a results-based management approach where the results of performance can be regularly measured in order to recognize whether there is success being made or we have areas of problems that we are experiencing, and to allow to adjust where it would be necessary to do so. And then as from the financial year of 2020-2021, the departments are also required to populate validated outputs at the end of each quarter, and those and that departments are also encouraged that they develop their own internal mechanisms to ensure that by the end of 30 days after the quarter, the performance information reported is validated, it is reliable, and it is credible. And also to note that quarter one reporting was done in our case against the DOD annual performance plan for this financial year, and it was tabled on March 2020. The reporting against the remainder of the financial year, this current financial year quarter, will be done against the adjusted DOD annual performance plan, which was also tabled on the 20th of July of this year. Then here we talk on slide number 9, we focus our attention on the additional COVID-19 reporting requirements. And we are aware that as of from the beginning of the financial year, departments are required to monitor both financial and non-financial performance in relation to the COVID-19 interventions. The quarterly reports will be utilized to monitor and track the implementation of COVID-19 interventions that would have been undertaken, and also in addition, focus on issues of continuous service delivery programs. And we have the schematic presentation of what those reporting requirements would look like. Now, when we go to slide number 10, which talks to our background, that as the institution, we have also institutionalized the results-based management framework as prescribed by the revised framework with effect from this financial year as a tool that ensures that departments fulfill their constitutional mandate as expressed in terms of the intended impact, outcomes, as well as outputs. And the next one on slide number 11 is the schematic visual presentation of how our DOD results-based model is structured. And it breaks down into two, which is the secretariat that looks at issues of accountability and effective governance to enhance the civil control of defense. And then the second aspect of it is an effective and sustainable defense force capability to execute the production. Now we slide number 13 begins to look at our performance of the first quarter, and the report is as follows. With the slide number 13, we give you the DOD outputs, which are 31 indicators, and five of those come from the Defense Secretariat, and the bigger chunk is 26, which are then related to the SANDF. On slide number 4, here we also give you the DOD output indicators based on the different outputs. So the defense output number 1 focuses on the strategic direction provided at the defense level, and that covers 19%. And then the green shaded area talks to the DOD output number 2, which then deals with defense capabilities prepared, and that is about 26%. And then the other lighter green, it talks about defense output number 3, which then talks to the capabilities that are provided, and that stands at 13%. And then the purple shaded area talks to defense output number 4, which has to do with our capabilities that have been employed at the defense level, and that is 16%. And the blue area talks about defense output number 5, which talks about capabilities supported, and it stands at 26%. Now, if we go to slide number 15, the slide then it goes further to break down those indicators per program. So when you start on your right, the gray shaded area talks to the outputs that are covered under administration, and then the purple one is 6 outputs that talk to the forced employment, and then the green one talks to the landward defense, which is 2 outputs, and then air defense, which is 3, and the yellow shaded part talks to what happens in our maritime space, that is 4 areas, targets, and then the military health support is 1, and then defense intelligence is 2, and then general support accounts for 6 of those. Then when we go to slide number 16, we then take the DOD targets per quarter. And with this, it is a representation of the 15 targets that we had set out in quarter 1. But if you look at all the quarters, those targets will be in total 78. So quarter 1, which is represented by the red color, covers the 15 targets that we are currently going to be reporting on in this particular quarter. And then the second one, which is 18 targets that we are going to be reporting on when we come to quarter 2. And the green one, quarter 3, would represent 16 targets that we'll report on when the time comes. And then the last quarter will have the most of the targets, which stands at 29. Now below that, which is slide number 17, we have given a breakdown of how these targets are broken down throughout the 4 quarters. So you would see that by the time we finish, we would have covered all the 78. However, I would like to draw the attention of the honorable members to quarter 1. And this one, if you see, we have broken it down in terms of our program. So program 1 that talks to administration, we will be reporting on 3 targets. Forced employment is 4 targets. Landward defense is 1 target, including the air defense, maritime, and military health support, they all have 1 target each. And then defense intelligence has 2 targets, and then general support has 2 targets as well. So all of those targets for quarter 1 come to 15. Now, when we give you the next slide on page number 19, we then focus our attention to the strategic overview. With the corporate governance and accountability, and that is those targets that will be talking to the work of the administration. So during the period under review, the Secretary for Defense provided strategic direction to the DoD through various governance activities and interventions. These included timely decision making on strategic and defense diplomacy matters, effective management and processing of official departmental documents, chairing of various DoD management bodies, as well as the attendance of the Director General's meetings that are represented in different forums, cabinet lekhutlas and government clusters. And I would also add to say that the Secretary for Defense also was leading the efforts of the NAT Joint in support of the work of the National COVID Command Council. The next page on slide number 20, continuing with the work of the administration, the declaration of the National State of Disaster in terms of the Disaster Management Act of 2002, government required to provide an integrated and coordinated disaster management mechanism that would focus on largely managing and mitigating the impact of COVID-19 coronavirus. And as I said, for our side, our work was largely around the NAT Joint. To this end, the President appointed the JCPS cluster chairpersons to coordinate, facilitate, integrate all of the government approach to the efforts of the key work groups that would be established to focus their efforts on dealing with the COVID-19 issue. In addition, the President instructed that the National Joint Operational and Intelligence Structure would serve as the custodian of all reports during the crisis. These work groups were multidisciplinary teams that included communication experts, educators, actuaries, scientists, health specialists, engineers, disaster management center representatives, legal advisors, the top-level leadership of the country's intelligence, security and law enforcement agencies, as well as teams from the departments that constitute the economic and social cluster of FOSAD, which is the Forum of South African DGs. The department, in the person of the Secretary for Defense, was also responsible for co-chairing the JCPS cluster of DGs. And the next one on slide number 22, here we go looking at the issue of the work that was led by the Secretary of Defense, which included coordinating activities, one, in the area of the establishment of the COVID-19 pandemic work streams. These work streams are 8, and they all focus on different matters. And then the second one was the work of providing strategic direction, guidance, and giving taskings to the appointed work streams for presentation to the NCCC. The third one being the formulation of a socio-economic recovery plan for the country post-COVID-19 national lockdown, and the role that the JCPS cluster was playing in the economic recovery plan. And then the fourth one is developing and consolidating a draft framework on the risk-adjusted strategy. And the last one is ensuring that there is alignment in the government-wide approach when it comes to the security priorities as well as programs that were submitted to Cabinet. On our slide number 23, we then go to the corporate human resource status. The DoD requires an average human resource strength of about 77,000. In order to ensure a more sustainable defense capability, we would be comfortable with an average human resource strength of about 75,000. That will be maintained during this current financial year, and then also supplemented by the planned reserve force mandate of 2.6 million. This will result in a projected shortfall of 3 billion on the compensation of employees' budget for this current financial year. The DoD's actual strength as at the 30th of June of this year, we had 73,595, which was below the planned average of 227 for June 2020. The National Treasury letter was sent in 2019-2020 requesting to increase the compensation of employees' budget limit of the department by 2.6 billion rand for 2019-2020 financial year, which was dated 17 March of this year, indicated that the request from the department to increase the COE ceiling for 2019-2020 was not supported. The DoD received an additional allocation via the 2020 special adjustment budget, which was 764 million in support of the COVID-19 response activities. This allocation is specifically and exclusively appropriated and is aligned to the expenditure in terms of the allowances paid and projected payments. It is projected that the funded HR strength will continue to decrease due to higher than anticipated attrition within the department. And I just consulted with our colleagues, and here we are talking 3,000. On slide number 25, we then go to the command of forces. With the medium-term strategic framework of 2019-2024 priorities, we are, during the quarter under review, the SANDF supported the following priorities, which also are known as outcomes. Priority number 6, or outcome number 3, which focuses on the issue of social cohesion and the safer community. The main focus here is the support that we give to the people of South Africa, making them safer. And then priority number 7, which is outcomes number 11, talks to the work that we do outside the borders of South Africa, and specifically regional security. And those talk to a better Africa and a better world. On the command force, looking at page number 26, in terms of support to the people, which is outcome number 3, the SANDF deployed 15 subunits to execute Operation Corona that has to do with border safeguarding in the following provinces: Limpopo, Mpumalanga, KwaZulu-Natal, Free State, Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, and Northwest provinces. There were also efforts that contributed towards Operation Takisha objectives that we are looking at in this quarter, and through the conduct of 2 Operation Corona Coastal patrols during quarter 1. On slide number 27, here we show you in quarter 1 the successes that were achieved in the operations that we spoke about, and those are the activities that were conducted, and I wouldn't go into them. And then on slide number 28, in support to government departments, Operation Prosper, the SANDF operational concept for safety and security support is to employ multi-role military capabilities on request according to the Pursuit of the Defense Act 42 of 2002. The SANDF was not requested during this quarter to provide assistance during this period. This is because we react to the requests that would have presented to the department by other structures. In terms of disaster aid and relief operations, we have Operation Chariot. The SANDF was also not requested to provide assistance during this first quarter. We go to slide number 29, the command forces. In terms of search and rescue, the SANDF provided assistance on two occasions, and they are the ones that we elaborate on. And these were conducted safely, and they had to do with the evacuation of some of the South African nationals. The SANDF also supported the efforts to mitigate the spread of COVID-19 through the implementation of Operation Notlela. And this happened as of the 24th of March 2020 to date. In terms of the regional security, the SANDF continued to provide force structure elements to the United Nations in the DRC through Operation Mistral, and these included the following. The SANDF specialist contingent in Kinshasa, the 4th Intervention Battalion Group in Sake, in the Sake base, also in the DRC, and then the composite helicopter unit in Goma. And due to the need to harness the limited number of operationally available SA Navy platforms for deployment during Operation Notlela, it was decided that there will be no operational copper long-range deployment in the Mozambican channel. And so on this one, there hasn't been any work that we have been able to do. I now draw your attention to the performance indicators. So on page 32, we have the following 10 selected performance indicators that are published in the 2020 estimates of national expenditure through vote 23. And on our left-hand column, we have the performance indicator that talks to the number of defense attaché officers that we have. And you will see that our target was 44. And indeed, in quarter one, we have all 44 in place. So to date, that has been 100% achieved. And then we also look at the number of MSD members in the system. And this is 3,604, which was the target. And this was a target that was going to be over a period of 2 years. And then as we stand right now, we are at 3,576, which then accounts for 99%. And when we look at the number of reserve force mandates, we start with 2.6, and 867,000 of those have been achieved, and that accounts for 32% delivery. Percentage compliance with the Southern African Development Community Standby Force, the target was 100%, and as we report, we have been able to achieve that during our first quarter. And then the next one is the percentage compliance with number of external operations that also stands at 100%. So we move then to slide number 33. Where we also look at the performance indicator summary, but we also touching on the various areas. So when we look at the left, we also have performance indicator that talks to the percentage compliance with number of internal operations. The target was also set at 100%, and we have achieved that within this quarter. And the number of planned joint and interdepartmental, interagency and multinational military exercises, the target was set at 5, and we say that in this quarter we have not been able to achieve any of those, so it means that there hasn't been delivery on that one, not achieved. And then on the number of landward subunits that were deployed on border safeguarding per year, we target and then in quarter one, we have the 15, which translates to 100%. And the number of hours flown per year, the target was set at 17,100, and we have achieved in quarter one 3,380, and that accounts for 19.8%. And part of that is due to the nature of the lockdown that we're experiencing, not only in South Africa, but I think worldwide. Therefore, it makes it a little bit difficult for our airports to really meet the targets that they've been set. Number of hours at sea per year, we also have 10,000. And then out of those, during quarter one, 6,290 were achieved, and that accounts for 33%. And I think that the explanation would be more or less the same for non-achievement by our airports. Now, on slide number 34, we are looking at the airports, the flying hours year-on-year basis. And I would like
May I request Phumlani Mokgoro to switch to mute his mic? He's on her mic. Phumlani, can you mute your mic, please? I mean, this mic has been disturbing the meeting for the last 20 minutes or so. Over to you, Sector. Thank you so much. My apologies.
I am told that the noise comes from our site chairperson because of the operating the slides. So it is with our system. I hope that the noise would lessen as we go along.
I see. The Phumlani is on your side, Sector. This is from learning more for I see. My apologies.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. So, Chairperson, I was on slide number 34, and we are taking now the different structures. So we have the from the Air Force. Here we talk about flying hours year-on-year analysis. So if you take on the extreme right, the other parts give you the picture from the previous two financial years. And then the last column is focusing on the current year. So in terms of the airport, if you look at the forced employment, there was the plan that we will have 4,000 and then hours, and then we have 9.69, which accounts for 24%. And at the VVIP level, we had planned 1,000 and we managed to get 76. And that accounts for 7.7%. And then for force preparation, we had planned on 12,100 and we achieved 2,334. And in total, this brings the total to about 19.8% of what was achieved during this quarter. Then when you go to the next one, which focuses on our Navy, the sea hours year on year, and if you focus your attention on the last two columns, you see that in terms of the forced employment, the planned hours at sea was 7,800, and to date only 2,826 that has been achieved, and the percentage is 36%. And then forced preparation, it came to the planned one was 2,200 and we achieved 463, which gives us 21% achievement. So in total, we've got 3,290 hours that have been achieved. And then part of that is the issues that have to do with the dockyard and then long maintenance of our vessels, and then the lead time when it comes to delivery, and also not having fixed taskings that we depend on. When you look at the slide number 37, in terms of our performance status, that gives you a best eye view. You would recall that earlier on I mentioned that out of the 15 targets that we had set, we only managed to achieve 11 of those. So if you take the red shaded defense output, that is the defense strategic direction, out of those, we were able to achieve one output instead of the three that had been set out from the beginning. And with the defense capabilities prepared, we achieved all four of them. And then the defense capabilities that were provided, no targets were set for this quarter. And then for the defense capabilities that were employed, we achieved all four. And then with the defense capabilities that were supported, we achieved two, and we also were not able to achieve on the other two. So that brings us to about 11 targets that we achieved out of the 15, meaning that our performance stands at 73%. When we go to slide number 38, we then give you those performance status on targets per quarter, and what is achieved is 11, that's 73%, and not achieved is 4 of those. So we underperformed by 27% in terms of our targets for this current quarter, and the diagram below shows where we stand. Now coming to quarter one financial performance information. The DoD planned expenditure as of the 30th of June. So there you see our budget allocation stood at 55, and then we less expenditure is 12, and then the total amount available was 43, and that brought us our expenditure to a total of 22%. And as one would expect, probably we underspent. If we were just to take it literally, we could have divided that into four, and we would be expected to have delivered the 25%. But we are hopeful that as the quarters proceed, we will even out. Now, when you look at slide number 41, it then gives you, in terms of our budget, the summary expenditure, what has been given and what are the plans, what is the actual and what is the variance. But in my subsequent slides, I will be able to talk to that diagram in terms of the information that supports that. And I would go to slide number 42. So if you look at the contributing factors, to negative or positive balances, whichever way it is, of not more than 8% of actual drawings per program are as follows. When you take the Air Force, the under expenditure stands at $185 million, and the under expenditure is due to the following reasons. One, on COVID-19, the closure of local and international businesses following the collective global responses to contain the spread of the COVID-19 virus had a negative impact on the ability for our Air Force to financially perform as set out in their plan. Secondly, the defense industry performance, the closure of DINEL largely due to persistent but necessary lockdown regulations had also negatively impacted on a deliverable directly related to the planned cash flow. Thirdly, it is the prolonged procurement process which also impacted on the upkeep of aircraft systems affected the cash flow performance during this quarter. And the cash flow performance will also improve as the financial year progresses. Now the next one, it talks to our Navy, the maritime defense. The under expenditure there stands at about $108 million, which was mainly due to the unprecedented COVID lockdown and the COVID-19 lockdown and procurement challenges that were experienced as follows. From the human resource and training aspect, the restrictions posed on traveling impacted on the movement of personnel. Therefore, it meant that courses, training, staff visits, and meetings couldn't happen, and this mainly affected subsistence and traveling expenditure. On the maintenance and the repair aspect of our ships, the lockdown resulted in procurement challenges that had an impact on the process of placing system support and technical upkeep contracts. AMSCO and DOD procurement experienced no bids or bidders not meeting their required criteria. And then available contractors shifted the delivery target to the right, negatively affected the spares availability, and also required that maintenance and repair of ships be put on hold. And the latter had the direct impact on the availability and readiness of the Navy platforms, as alluded to earlier. When we look at the general support, here we have had an over expenditure of 350 million, which was mainly attributed to the centralized procurement of all PPEs, the equipment and the establishment of quarantine and isolation facilities. This then required the DOD to support efforts to contain COVID-19 virus. And then 344 million was paid in this regard by the end of the first quarter. On this next slide, we then focus on the economic classification. And then you would also see that our variance stands at about 1.9. And then the following slide will then explain the diagram that is before you right now. So when we go to slide number 46, we look at the payments for capital assets. The over expenditure here stands at about 153 million, which was as a result of payment of invoices received from the National Department of Public Works and Infrastructure for the work that was completed on immovable properties. And this is in accordance with the user asset management plan, as well as the payment of the Microsoft software licenses. And then the next one, it has to do with the payments for financial assets. The over expenditure stands at 300,000, which was mainly due to the write-off transactions for theft and other losses. It should be noted, though, that the department does not make provision during the budget allocation for unseen expenditure, such as foreign exchange losses, theft, and other losses. Funds are reserved to clear these transactions at financial year end. And then on number 47, here we focus largely on our COVID-19 response expenditure per program as of the 30th of June. So if you take, for instance, the diagram before us, it shows us the expenditure as of the April of this year, and then May, and then June, which is the end of the quarter, and then the cumulative expenditure. And this is also broken down in terms of the program. So in total, we have spent about 721,873,000 if you put everything together. On the next slide, on page 48, then we go further to give the classification, economic classification of that 721 million. And that covers from the compensation of employees, it covers the issues of goods and services, and then it goes down and gives you all the breakdowns in terms of those classifications, as well as the transfers and subsidies. So that gives you a picture, including the medical supplies, materials and supplies, the fuel and all those things, as well as clothing materials and accessories. Now, the issue of the irregular expenditure, I think that we will leave it, because then we have a standalone item that talks to the issues of irregular expenditure. The point being that some of those are the ones that that deal with the investigations underway, and they are also contained in the presentation on irregular expenditure. And I think that that will be separate, will be handled separately. And I think that I would not maybe dwell onto that one and wait for that presentation, if it is okay, Chairperson.
It's okay, because it's a standard item, Secretary. Thanks.
And then also we have the BRRR, the status. I see that you also have it as a standalone item. I don't know whether you want us to deal with it now or we leave it to the time.
Let's leave it to the time.
Okay. If we leave those two, then Chairperson, it means that we have come to the end of our presentation of our first quarterly performance report. I thank you.
Thank you so much, Inspector, for the presentation on the first quarterly report, performance report. Colleagues, may I now invite comments over to you? Yes, Mr. Mare, I recognize you. It's Mare. Any other colleagues?
They're waiting for me and we remember I don't say than they said. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much, TechDev, and welcome in our midst. We hope that you will have a very happy time. You will know that you will get to know us. We are loving people, but we are hard when it comes to defense and defense priorities. So it'll be you know, from a point of love and affection that we will be tough on you, and not because we are nasty and personal. So thank you very much and welcome to us. I want to start off by asking you, in the presentation right in the beginning, you have referred to the Secretary of Defense being involved with the formulation of a post-COVID-19 socio-economic recovery plan. It doesn't sound like a priority of defense to be involved with a COVID and national program, and specifically with the socio-economic recovery plan. And I was wondering, you know, whether you can assist us with more information in that regard. What does that plan contains, and whether we can get a copy of that plan, because I'm not aware that we have seen such a plan, seeing that it is a thing that is driven by the Secretary of Defense. Secondly, I just wanted to jump quickly to the situation that we have had about a month or so ago, when we looked at the amended budget specifically for COVID and the COVID-related. At that stage, the projected deficit was 3 billion rand for this year, predominantly because of the cost of employees. The shortfall, because there was about 4.5 billion for COVID-related expenses, of which only a portion was additionally appropriated, I think about 2.8 billion, which then gives us a shortfall there of 1.6 billion rand, so that's already 4.6 billion. Then when the soldiers were, their period were extended until the end of this month, September, it was an additional 1.5 billion approved by the president. So that's another 1.5 billion deficit. Then from the previous year, as you've reported, there was a 2.65 billion rand overrun, which National Treasury has not approved to increase the ceiling. So, and then we have got a situation where we already know at this stage, there's no ways that the Operation Notlela will not be extended beyond the end of September. So there will be a further overrun of expenditure. So you are talking about, if I just look at the figures that was given to us, of between 6 and 10 billion rand overrun or a shortfall. How do you see that this will be funded, given that National Treasury told us last week, and you've heard and you've seen their presentation last week, there are no additional funds from the fiscus available. So in other words, this must now be redirected and reprioritized from within the existing budget. And obviously, this has got a strategic impact on the National Defence Force. And somehow, you and your team has got the responsibility and the accountability to brief us on how you're going to redirect that and reprioritize that without compromising the Defence Force. And they, you first want to listen to SecDef. SecDef is now listening to someone else and not to me. SecDef, you're not listening to me? SecDef, do I have your attention?
Yes, you do, sir.
Oh, thank you, because I saw that you were listening to other people. Somewhere you have to inform us that the National Defence Force will still comply with the constitutional requirements. So that is very, very important. Then on the South African Navy, you have given us that on the first quarter there was no Operation Corona activities. And that has been ceased totally. Although, if you look at the slides on the 2021 budget, then you will see that a third of the total year's budget of sea hours has been utilized in the first quarter, 3,290, while there was no Operation Corona going on. So, can you tell us, if there was no Operation Corona, which is normally taking up a huge portion of the budget, seeing that it is a long distance surveillance project going on, how and where was that then spent and utilized given this situation? My problem is that we have only utilized 21% for preparations. Now, In any defense force, whether it's the Navy, and I will get to the Air Force as well, if you don't do proper preparations and training, then you are so vulnerable when it comes to enforcement and actually being where you have to deal with threats from outside. So you please have to enlighten us how that will be done. And then further on, what is the progress with regards to Byron Hotel, given slide 43, where you have indicated that, the reasons why there was an under expenditure, and we know that Project Hotel and Byron are critical, important projects where there's huge penalties involved if you don't stick to that. With regards to the Air Force, you have given us, the preparation, the force preparation again, only 20% for force preparation. And we know again that in terms of an Air Force, your pilots must be accredited and they can only do that by preparation. Your aircraft must be accredited and they can only have that via inspections after preparation. If you are cutting on preparations, it can damage and impact on our capabilities to enforce via the air. And that is a major concern, and I want to know how that will be dealt with and prevented. We have lost the C-130. You haven't dealt with that. We have lost the C-130, and that we know that we are very thin on that capabilities. And I want to know how you will be able to replace and restore that capacity. And then further on, also on the Air Force, the maritime surveillance of 35 Squadron and others, we still have got no capabilities and a situation there. So please, can you help us with that? With regards to the Army, the 15 units, you are obviously very much aware of the threat that we have got on our Zimbabwe, Mozambican and KZN borders and Swaziland borders, with the threats from the ISIL groups in Mozambique. I've asked this question before, whether there are any plans to increase our presence on those borders specifically, because we know that there's been reports of increased illegal movement of people and goods across those borders, and we have also received physical threats in writing from those muscle groups. So what can you tell us about that? On slide 42, you refer to the closure of the NEL. I mean, our information is that the NEL has not been closed down. So can you confirm that, you know, on 42, whether it is correct when you refer to underperformance because of the closure of the NEL? Then on slide 43, again, I've referred to that. We have been told in the past that the three frigates and the submarines cannot be afforded to be refurbished. Now, that has got nothing to do with COVID. It's got absolutely nothing to do with COVID. It was prior to COVID that we have said that we were told there's no money to refurbish three of the frigates, and they've given us the amount of over 700 million per frigate that is required, and about 400 million per submarine needed to be refurbished ASAP, and that is limiting our capabilities. Can you please deal with that and maybe enlighten us on what are being done about that? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you so much. Any other comments, colleagues, or questions?
Chair?
Yes, Ms. Vickers?
Yes, thank you, Chair.
Yes.
Chair, if we look to the personnel figures, it's almost 458 posts lower. So does this have an impact on the skills lost? And how are they preparing to balance this with the needs that is required in the SANDA? Then also, Chair, there was a high spending in Program 8, and it was due to the purchasing of COVID-19 PPE. Do they have a comprehensive list of companies to submit to us, Chair? And in that list, they must explain to us, for example, how many youth, how many women, and how many seriously disadvantaged companies they help with the PPE. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you. Any other? All right. Thank you so much. Over to you, Secretary.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me just start with the last issue that was raised, the issue of the purchasing of the PPE. Chairperson, we did also receive as a department, like all government departments, a request from the president of the office that all departments disclose the amount they have spent on PPEs, but that we should also give them the names of the companies that have benefited from the procurement of PPEs, but also we must state what is it that we bought from them. So what we did to ourselves, and in the communication it was stated that that information is going to be published publicly, and we submitted, and as far as we know is that the Department of National Treasury has actually published. As we speak, we have submitted our list, and the breaking down of the list was the items that were procured, the supplier, the company registration details, the procurement process that was followed, the order date, the unit price, and the quantity and the total price of what was procured. We did check with our colleagues from the procurement section, and the information to break down the procurement of PPE in terms of veterans, the women, the youth, people with disability is not what we would have in the information of the companies that we have. We have since then checked with our colleagues at National Treasury. they would then be in a position to supply us with that, and they can only do that within a period of a week. So that is basically where we stand on those issues. On the issue of slide number 42, I think that the closure of Dinel here is in reference to the closure also of many companies during the period of lockdown. As you would recall, that a lot of the companies within lockdown 5 and lockdown level 4, many of them were closed if they were then also not considered to be those ones that are providing essential services. So that is what actually we have meant in terms of the closure, not to say that Dinel itself as a whole has been closed. I also, just to explain that with the issue of the Biro Hotel as well as the Biro and Hotel project, I don't know, Chairperson, whether we can allow them to be discussed when we deal with the RRR project, because I think that we make special reference to those, because then it is those projects that have been looked at from the strategic procurement, and they are also those catered for under the SDA. So I think that that is what we can say with the loss of that one. The issue of the Mozambique, I think that there was the plan from our colleagues from the Navy to actually patrol, and they tried as much as they could to see whether we can take the ships that we have. But really, at a certain point, there was a decision to say that if we did do undertake those trips sailing along the channel, that we will be putting the life of our colleagues, because the ships themselves were not in a state where we would feel comfortable that if that mission is undertaken, it will be successfully completed. And then on the issue of the report of the role of the Secretary for Defense, I just want to say that in dealing with the issue of COVID-19, there has been also an effort that has been focused on the post-lockdown period as to what is it that we are going to be doing, bearing in mind that at the time that we were actually going into, the COVID came into the picture, that economically we were not doing well. And the fact that for a certain period of time, our companies had to shut down, so that then we contain the spread of COVID-19, then many of the companies were affected. And we are aware that they have resulted in unemployment and also lots of small, medium businesses that have totally been shut down. And the bigger part of those are the ones that affected women at about 50% of the SMMEs that have been closed. So it has been said that we need to look at how we try to get back our economy on its feet. And interestingly, in the presentation yesterday to the NCCC, the study conducted by the UNDP shows that specifically in the case of South Africa, we can be comfortably sure that our economy will only recover within 5 years. And that is based on a number of things that they have taken. So to that effect, the economic cluster then took a responsibility of leading the process of coming up with an economic recovery plan. So before my time, at the JCPS level, there had already been inputs that have been made by the security cluster as to what it is that we will do in terms of the economic recovery. And that input was endorsed by the minister. It had its own action plan, and it was costed. So now what the economic cluster has done is that they've received inputs from the communities and also from other government departments. And now they have started a process where they are engaging with NEDLAC So in the past week, we have also submitted an addendum to what was put, because then we saw that what was taken to NEDLAC didn't include certain things that impact the JCPS cluster. So I must state that this is the input of the cluster, which DOD is one of those, and we are also the chair of the cluster. So that is what it is about. But the responsibility of the cluster is that we have been experiencing problems with illicit goods that come through into the country. It is not only the illegal movement of persons into the country, but also it also impacts on how and how much revenue we collect at our port of entry and exit. So there is a lot that is looked at, and then also the things of selling those fake goods, and then of course the issue of corruption, because we have to be agile that as we revive the economy, there will be issues of corruption that will come up. And I think that in the media, even right now, there has been a lot that has been said as to what we do. But this is an effort to saying that if then it is going to take us 5 years to get to the point where we are comfortable with our economy, each and every one of the clusters that we have, they've got to stipulate the role they are going to play. And that is part of that. And included in that is the issue of cybersecurity. Then I think that on the issue of the, there are different issues I think that have been raised in relation to the figures of amounts. Yes, I do agree that right now with all of us experiencing cuts from the Department of National Treasury, is that it makes our situation a little bit more precarious. One, if we take from the HR side, I did mention that we are expecting an attrition within the financial year of about 3,000. And when we even look at that, I do have the colleague from the HR with me, is that the amount there is not going to be significant to be able to take us forward in terms of that. And whatever has been given, the 763 million, we use it in deployment. The fact of the matter is that for as long as the department or the defense force is required to actually offer certain services, we will always experience problems, because then we also have to bring some of our reserve force members. But as we deploy, we have then to pay the allowances that our colleagues have to get. But also we should not, we should recall that we also have deployments that have happened external to South Africa. So this makes our situation a little bit difficult. Yes, in terms of the corona budget, we asked for 4.5 billion, and out of that we got 3 billion. We then worked on a CAP memo to see what is it that we can get of the remaining 1.5 billion. Unfortunately, right now, we don't have any commitment from the Department of National Treasury that we will be able to get more of that money, and the situation gets even worse. And I did mention earlier on, I don't know whether I did say, that even in terms of our human resource capacity, we did receive communication yesterday from National Treasury that says to us that for the next financial year, they are cutting 1.7 billion rand in terms of our COE. So the problem that we have now, it means that we are going to find ourselves in a situation where we are over on our COE by 4.2 billion, because then if they cut, then we are going to have the people that are going and we are not going to be able. I felt the same way, Honorable Nere, in terms of your reaction. So it means that it's going to be very difficult to see what is it that we are going to do. I think whichever way we look, whichever action we think we will need to take, it is going to have financial implications. It may also probably on the other side be a simplistic approach of saying, okay, let's cut. We know that we want to be ideally at 75,000. We stand at about 73,000. But even if you say we cut or people take packages, the money must be available. So there is no way we can do that. But also, what needs to be appreciated is that the role of the Defence Force is changing. So whether it's Operation Copa, Operation Notlela, Operation whichever one it is, we see that all of them talk to the changing nature of the responsibility of the Defence Force. It is not only going to war, but it's also supporting our economic efforts as a country to get to a point where we can. So that's why even when we talk about the issue of the border, we don't restrict ourselves to the issue of just illegal people coming in, because there are certain goods that come into our country that deprives us of the opportunity to collect revenue that will make our economic situation easier. I would give to my colleague here, that is from HR, if there is anything to augment.
Sir Jeff, you're not too sure if I heard you well.
Yes. You said
for 2021, the expected natural attrition would be 3,000. Or is an accumulative figure they're talking about? Is it an accumulative figure over the years, or is what is due for 2021?
It's for 2021.
Okay, so that would further bring down the numbers from 74,000 by this March. Am I getting you right? Bringing you to 71,000 personnel
spent. So it means we're losing 3,000 and then we recruit 1,800 from the MSP. And then from the civilian side we'll have 1,400. That gives us a total of 3,200. So we lose some, we gain some.
You lose some, you gain some. All right. Lose some, gain some. Okay.
Yes, we are disadvantaged also by the lengthy process of recruitment that we have, and probably it is something that we will need to look at, because then the MSC is also about the training development, so we can only have them at the point where they are ready for intake within the department. But also, Chairperson, we must not lose sight of the 1.7 billion that is already going to be cut. So I think the reading into the whole thing is that we are pushed in a corner where we will have to actually reduce our post-establishment, and we are not so sure, because then increasingly the role of the Defence Force is also required in all aspects of our daily lives now as South Africans, not even going to war. So that is what is the reality.
All right. So just to make it clear, we're losing about 3,000, and so how many will be filling from the MSDS? 1,500, is that what you're saying?
Let me give you, Chairperson, to the general from our HR. He'll give you the figures as he has them before.
Thank you very much, members of the CCD and the chairperson. The issue that I wanted just to highlight is the fact that the further cut taking into consideration...
Sorry, General who?
Sichongai.
Okay, yeah, boss. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. What I just wanted to re-emphasize the fact that we have a further cut. And what is important that we need to take note of is that it does not create a situation make us to be in a position that we'll be able to comply with. It is the fact that when, even if we are not to recruit the 1,800 MSDS, we're not going to be able to be within the ceiling. Because the ceiling itself is the deficit is too huge and there's no dent on it. For instance, I think we per year we will be about 200 million for MSDS that we recruit. So that is not any, there's no significant dent on the deficit. But what it will cause, it will recreate a problem in terms of effectiveness of the SA in the sense of our rejuvenation. Because if you were to cut the MSDS, and it means therefore you wouldn't be able to have the feeder within the system to be able to rejuvenate the SNDF so that it can be able to conduct its operation. So what we are trying to say that is that it becomes very much difficult now for the SNDF, because we are not dealing with commodities here, we are dealing with human beings, and there are other labor relations and other processes that we need to follow in order for us to reduce the number. So in terms of us to be within the ceiling and the feather cut, we won't be able to do that unless we discuss with National Federation in terms of the tempo and the process that we are going to follow in order for us to reduce the number within the ceiling. For this next 12 months, we won't be able to do that. There's no legislation that we may be able to use unless we have to buy people with money in order for us to break those contracts that we have. So that is what I wanted to emphasize on this one.
And that money to buy the people is not available, Chairperson. I think that we have printed.
So must I take it, SECDEF, that there is no decision as yet that you will indeed recruit 1,800 from MSDS and then also fill the vacancies left by those who are up to 1,200?
Well, it is planned, Chairperson. However, I think that the information we got that you will have a further 1.7 billion cut from the COE, it then means that our plans are actually in a very serious, dangerous position in terms of implementation. This was our plan, bearing in mind that we had this attrition in mind, that we will be losing the 3,000 colleagues through the process of natural attrition and then using the MSD to really recruit into the organization. So with the further cut of 1.7 billion, and which we are saying that for over a number of years, we have been carrying over the 3 billion, and now with the 1.7 also going, it means we are even going to be over by more than the 3 billion that we have carried, I think, over the past 3-4 financial years. And now we are actually going to be going into a point where we'll hit the 4 billion as a mark.
I agree with you. To me, it would be irresponsible to go ahead with the further recruitments, given the situation that you are in right now. We are projecting to overspend by over 3 billion just on compensation of employees alone. And with the cut that is proposed in the outer years, the over expenditure is going to go up to 4.5 billion. Now, unless you reconsider your numbers and try to remain within the budget, I see this as posing a serious risk to the department, the COE, and the control of your HR numbers. Okay, I would just want to leave it at that, but just please take note that this where you are experiencing a serious crisis. It's on the COEs. Unless you bite a bullet, I don't know how, very soon you'll have an over expenditure that starts to eat into other programs. I just want to leave it at that for now. Chairperson,
I think we are in a reality that says, even if we took a decision Well, the natural attrition is a given because the people reach a particular age, the system will anyway take them out. That even if we took a decision that through the MSD process, through what is even needed within the civilian component of the department, that we don't fill those posts, we will still be in trouble because then that natural attrition is not going to take us to a situation, maybe we will save 200 million from that, but that doesn't even say that we are bringing down the problem that we have of money by a billion. So, and the reality of the matter is that we do need those bodies to come on board as we lose those ones in attrition. So that's why we say that it's planned. And also, Chairperson, remember that what we have also been doing was then we were taking from the FDA. Now the Department of National Treasury wants to close the FDA. Yes, the discussion is still ongoing. It hasn't been finalized, and we hope that we'll be able to prevail to them because then they said that they can still keep it for the next financial year with an amount of 5 billion. However, given the situation broadly within the country and in government, we are not even assured that that 5 billion in the SDA would be there. But we are trying to still continue our engagement with the colleagues at National Treasury and see what it is that we can do. And of course, as I did say that the letter was received yesterday, it means then from our department, we have to then start engagement with them and see what's happening.
Okay. All right. So we'll leave it at that for now. And can we move forward, colleagues? Any other
questions? Chairperson, just on that point.
Just before you, Mare, any other member before I take Mare as a follow-up?
Chair, can I be a follow-up? Just on the current question that has not been answered today.
Chairperson, if you may oblige us, I just wanted to hand over to our colleagues to respond to some of the issues that were posed by Honorable Mare before maybe we go to the next round. If you may,
I think that's good.
I hand you over to General Ramaswana.
General Ramaswana?
Chairperson, through the Secretary for Defense, thank you very much. I'm going to start off by this point, that the matter that was raised with regards to force preparation in the South African Air Force. I think, Chairperson, we will recall the fact that when COVID-19 hit us, it came in with a lot of restrictions. And some of those restrictions indeed were necessary to even implement within the Department of Defense. They were implemented. And on matters of force preparation, which would have been included formal training, it would have included continuation training, it would have included force training, which would have required the soldiers to come together at times. Those issues has got to be stopped. We did ensure that we had to finish at the time earlier when COVID-19 just hit the country. So that is the reason that therefore you will be seeing the fact that force preparation has, the fund extended on force preparation has been low. But with that being said, let's again recall that we also needed funding in other areas, which we then did a reprioritization. So in those areas where we could not be effective or do things in the way that we should have done, what we did, we needed those budgets given COVID-19. Which we then reprioritized. I think we did discuss this matter with honorable members, and this is the matter which honorable members will be familiar with. I now want to move on to the question of with regards to OPCorona. There's a question about OPCorona to say, what is our intention? Are we intending to extend the land forces on Operation Corona? Chairperson, we need to say the fact that OPCorona during COVID has played a critical role, and it is, we agree with the point that is being raised, the concern that's being raised with regards to our borders, and that there is a need to tighten up our borders.
of Corona has played a critical role during COVID-19. It worked hand in hand with COVID-19, as we call it, Operation Motela in the SANDF. So they worked hand in hand, the two of them. In other ways, you could, if then you managed to be in the country illegally, you could be picked in the country. Not and clear with all the unwanted items that you have in your possession. So the two went hand in hand and in a very smart way. And I want to say directly in response to the question to say that we have, I think last week when the acting chief of the Defense Force was presenting on border safeguard, he did mention there was such a question that was raised. But it is, we need to know, we didn't leave our borders empty like that. We tried to do what we could do, i.e. we have been using technology and in high-risk areas. I need to point that one out. And to say again, within the Joint Operations Division in the Defense Force and together with the SA Army, there is also some initiatives that are taken to further enhance the use of technologies in our borderline. So I think that one, Chairperson, I will leave it at that. And to say that the matter is concerning, yes, we agree on that. But again, as we know, we are operating a shrinking budget at this point in time, in as much as we needed some additional deployment in terms of capabilities in the borderline. It might come difficult. We are doing something about that, Chairperson, as I've indicated. If I may go back to, there's another question about the C-130s. We have responded to this question before, Chairperson. And at the time when we responded to it, we indicated that there was this one C-130 that was available at the time. And the question was raised directly after the incident that took place, of course, in the DRC. So at this point in time, not as I'm speaking in this hour, but in the recent day, the Air Force had to have readily available two of the C-130s. I just need to indicate that my belief would be at this point in time that we do have a C-130 that is readily available. It is in our interest to Chairperson as the Defense Force to ensure that we maintain capabilities availability for air transport in, not only for military operations, but at this point in time, also to support the country in as far as COVID-19 is concerned. So that is where we are, Chairperson. And I am saying that if I were to confirm with the Air Force, they were probably going to say to me at this point that two of them are available. But at the time, directly after the DRC incident, there was one C-130 which could confirm the Air Force got it on board and it was available. There's also a question that was raised, the Chairperson, and this relates to the frigate. And the one about a third of the budget for OPCOVA. Chairperson, I need to say that, and it was mentioned the fact that, because there was no OPCOVA during the period. Chairperson, the reason there was no OPCOVA is that we had a challenge when we were deploying the frigate where it was sailing. And therefore, as a result of that, it has to come back. We do have money for Operation COPA. The money for Operation Cropper is also not meant just to make sure that the ship can sail, but also to assist in dealing with the defects within the vessels that we have so that they are able to sail. And Chairperson, that is what is happening. That's what you see. Ships that are alongside will not be helping us when we are sitting with money and we say, well, it's for Cropper and it's simply meant for people to sail. It is not meant for that. It can still be used at least to fix some minor defects. Clearly, I need to indicate the fact that it was also in our interest to make sure that we look after our waters, our territorial waters during the lockdown. And this was key, given the fact that we know the restrictions that were placed. And if I may come back, the refurbishment of the frigate, Chairperson, I think it is important that The challenges about this that we've been facing is what we've been communicating with this committee over the years. And those challenges, of course, they will be alongside the majority of them. But the reasons they are alongside, we know clearly. It is because of the challenges that we're finding ourselves in. And I need to say that if we look at the 2021 MTEP, I think the picture is not so good based on the indications that are there, given the letters, guidelines that we have received as well from National Treasury. So we will have to pressure on. The Defence Force has done so much with the little of the resources that they have, Chairperson, if I may put it that way. I think with that, this therefore will conclude the issues that were outstanding. Sector, may I hand back to you? Thank you, Sector.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. That is our response on the issues that have been raised.
Thank you so much, Sector. I think that concludes our discussion. There was a follow-up. Mare, you wanted to make a follow-up. I think this, Mare, you wanted to continue the question that you said you were not answered at the time. I'm sure you are covered
right
now.
The only thing that was not covered is my question in terms of that overrun, you know, when will we be briefed on how will they be able to reprioritize that between, remember we're talking about between 5 and 10 billion rand now in terms of the current trajectory.
No, just give you the budget that we appropriated, not any imaginary thing. What was appropriated is what is in the Appropriation Act. Let's quote for an
hour. Nothing imagined.
Yes. I
been
don't
reported
know that. No, my Vaka Pinky. I know that 4.5 was promised, but 2.8 was given. Let's leave it at that. Let's focus ourselves to 2.8. And I also know that in terms of the latest letter from the President, 1.5 is promised, but that is yet to be, factored into the budget through the adjustment estimates that will be coming up very soon. So I'm saying let's confine ourselves to what we already have, not any other funds that were promised but not, appropriated. Let's leave it at that for now. And then say, how are we trying to stay within the allocated budget?
Yes, Chairperson.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Can I also be noted?
Oh, yes, sir. Okay, Shelembe, and then Honorable Thabo.
Yeah, Chairperson. I think, to all of us, it's very, very concerning what is happening in terms of, the budget. And to me, I think maybe the department must come up clear what is looking at us as the portfolio committee to assist in this regard. Chairperson, if you look, in these programs that have been highlighted, in Program 1, say Program 3, Program 6, if you look to those programs, it speaks more of, the expenditure, or is higher than, the compensation of the personnel, the staff, is higher than the personnel ceiling as prescribed for the department. Chairperson, what do we do as to prune down the budget in different, programs? So that we don't have that similar program, which is seen to be occurring for several years. It is not something that is happening now, maybe because of the COVID or something else. It's something that has been taking place for many, many years, ago. What do we do now, to stop that? I've also looked at a thing when it comes to the issue of properties.
I see the person who's talking on the platform, please.
Can you mute Honorable Mthembu, please?
I have muted her, sir.
Thank you. Shelebe, you are on the floor. Thanks.
Hey, thank you very much, Chairperson. I think there should be a discipline to those, I mean, who has disturbed me while, I mean, I'm putting the important, I mean, matters on the table. Chairperson, I don't know where, I mean, the problem started, but my concern was also including the issue, I mean, of these properties. Now, if we say we are incurring costs, like where, I mean, we are not using those properties, I think if we can look at that, the cost can be reduced instead of paying for properties that we are not using. I don't know, maybe one can explain better to me how many properties that are being paid by the department but are not in use by the department. And also, Chairperson, what do the department think can help to stop the high spending on compensation of staff for many years that have taken place? If maybe I can be assisted, but the most important thing is that how do we prune down the budget? Because at the end of the day, we'll continue getting the qualified report from the Auditor General. I think we need to do something now. They must present to us what are their suggestions, what they think in order for us to assist where possible. We can't just carry on and say, we have a problem. Yes, we must say we have a problem, but there must be a possible solution to those problems, Chairperson. Thank you.
Okay. No, thank you so much.
All right. Honorable Moshe. Thank you so much, Michelle. Honorable Moshe.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson, Seth Depp and the team, and honorable members. Chair, I want to speak to the presentation with regard to the regular expenditure that has indicated there. It says they identified five. One, the contract awarded in 2017-18 through unfair bidding process for asset management that amounted to...
You seem to be dealing with the irregular expenditure, Honorable Chairman, isn't it? That item is yet to be, we're yet to be briefed on irregular expenditure. Yeah.
All right, no, it's fine then, because it's one presentation, I thought they covered.
No,
all right, no, it's fine.
It's fine, but we've separated the presentation.
All right, no, it's fine. Thank you, Chair. I'll then come back when we are dealing with the regular thing.
Thank you so much. Well, back, Honorable Mara.
No, it was not me. It was probably Shalembe. No, it was...
Okay, thanks. I think that then concludes the question.
Chair, if you want me to speak more.
No. Thank you. I'm trying to manage time. I'm happy that you don't have before another question. Let's leave it at that. So we still have two other items to deal with. Honorable, I think we've concluded the questions. I now hand over to the SecDef. SecDef, there are two questions, basically, but they are, reinforcing each other. There is on the alternative sources of revenue. I think there are suggestions that were made previously, including searching of assets and all that. We haven't heard what has come out of those initiatives. And then, what is the department doing to try and contain the over expenditure? Over to you.
Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson. I think that we subscribe to the same sentiments that have been raised by Honorable Shalembe, because then we really find ourselves in a very precarious situation. I think the budget is not going to improve, and yet we have all these responsibilities that are thrust on the department. I also want to say that we take the suggestion that maybe we need to look at the matter comprehensively as a department and look at the various issues that we can deal with, and then maybe then come back to the committee with that comprehensive input, which we will canvas with all the structures, so that then when we come, it can be a separate issue that we look at and we interrogate it in depth, and then see what it is that we are going to do. Because as I had alluded earlier on, whichever option you look at, it is an option that's going to need money, and that money we do not have. And at this point in time, what we have is an assurance on the SDA that will only continue for the next financial year. And beyond that, we are not going to have. But even right now, they have, I think, indicative is 5 billion. We don't know whether we will get that 5 billion. So we can even already say from the 5 billion, it's minus the 1.7 billion that they are going to be cutting already at the COE level. So, Chair, I think I want to say that let us be given time. Let's go and interrogate this and come back to you with something comprehensive that will look at all these areas, because we do know that we need the people. But even if we didn't employ, that is not going to make our situation any easier, because we still have, we are not going to save that much through the natural attrition process, even if we said we are not going to employ new people into the establishment. So that is the issue. And then on the other one, Chairperson, if it is okay, I'll hand over to General Ramaswamy.
Just before you leave on this one, Inspector, when are you receiving your resource envelope from Treasury for next year?
Well, normally we get our money every beginning of the financial year.
No, they tell you ahead of time, around December.
Around December
is when they give you an indication of what you are going to get in the new budget.
Yes.
No, it's
yes.
Fine. All right. Okay. But I'm sure you want us to come back and discuss when they have given you know, the indicative figures, or you can so what are you preferring? You want us to take
well,
discussion again?
I think, Chair, the proposal was that let's take all the different scenarios, look at them, and then we'll come back to you and present. And I would imagine that we would like to do that before December. By December, when we already know how much we are going to be given, we may come back to you again if we get less than what we are anticipating, because that will change the picture.
I agree with you. And then that topic would be on what how to rephrase that topic so that it's measures to contain you know, the budget overrun.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that's fine. We'll look at that. No, thanks. Let's then close this item, and then say we'll meet again just to discuss the budget and measures to contain the over expenditure, assuming the situation remains the same. And so we'll get those scenarios from you before December time. I think it will be November. About. All right, let's then go to the second item, colleagues, a briefing on the BRRR. Over to you, Sekia.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I will hand over to Karen van der Berg, but I would also refer us, if I can ask our colleague to put up on the screen slide number 51, because on slide 51 and 52 we deal with the issues of BRRR. So So, Chairperson, if it's okay, I'll hand over to our colleague to do the presentation and we'll augment.
It is okay.
Can you put off the slides, please? 51 and 52. Just a second, Chairperson, we are trying to get the slide up, 51 and 52. It's in the same presentation. That's slide 51. Okay.
You have this one. Thank you very much, Shetis and Chairperson. Just by introductory note to mention that these 8 BRRR recommendations were made by this committee last year after tabling of the 18-19 annual report of the department. And these BRRR recommendations were then subsequently promulgated in the ITC report October 28 last year. Since then, the department, through the normal quarterly reporting process, reported comprehensively on these 8 recommendations. And the last detailed presentation that was given on these 8 recommendations was given just before the lockdown period, mid-March, still in Cape Town, on the recommendations and the status relating to it within the department. From these 8 BRRR recommendations, nearly half of it are very interlinked due to the fact that there's a shortage on our COE budget that we have spoken on extensively today. That shortage had a direct impact on the status of funding within the special defense account, which then again had the impact specifically on projects Bara, Mufaiser and Hotel. And then lastly, it also impacted on the midlife upgrades on the frigate and the submarine in terms of Project Stein and Napoleon, and then to then modernize the military force. So these recommendations are all interlinked and dependent on sufficient funding. If I may just give feedback on the status of Bara, Mufaiser and Hotel currently. As previously indicated, these projects are under threat as we speak. BIRA has contractual obligations up until 2025. Mufaiser 2023, while Hotel has contractual obligations up until 2022. Current funding on the Strategic Capital Acquisition Master Plan for these 3 projects amounts in the tune of 2.8 billion, whilst the funding requirement to honour these contractual obligations till the end of these 3 periods amounts to in the tune of 13.7 billion, which leaves us with a shortfall of nearly 11 billion over the contract period for these 3 projects. In terms of projects Napoleon and Stein, who deals with the midlife upgrades of the frigates and the submarines, we did receive specific operational requirements for the midlife upgrades from the SA Navy, but due to the current funding situation on the SCAM, these 2 projects are currently on hold due to insufficient funding. And although the department endeavours to continuously ensure that we have a modern military force, the funding situation in the SDI also directly impacts on that, and therefore the department at this point in time can not enter into any new contracts to modernize the current equipment within the state. I will not speak on irregular expenditure, serial number 2, due to the fact that it will be a separate item to discuss. In terms of the internal audit division's capacity, as previously reported, and the status quo remains, the current establishment of 69 funded posts is still applicable, whilst only 49 of these funded posts are full. Due to lockdown and the subsequent months thereafter, it impacted quite severely on the staffing process to staff the rest of the 20-odd vacant posts within the internal audit division. And Chairperson, I can also refer you to the Minister of Defence and Military Veterans Budget Fund speech during July, where the Minister did express herself on internal audit division and the role and functions are currently executed with the internal audit on the one hand and the COVID-19 audit. Tangible assets we spoke on, currently it's work in process and under consideration by the AGSA during the current audit. Reimbursement statement due to the COVID-19 situation throughout the world and more specifically at the UN, the department has not received any reimbursement statements during quarter one. Therefore, we will, during quarter two, report on any reimbursements received during this financial year. Chairperson, if I can refer you to the initial requirement to report on both maritime and air combat capabilities and the expenditure thereof was to give the committee the assurance that the department does not transfer funds out of these two very important areas, in importance within defense. And subsequent to the initial promulgation of the BRRR recommendations by the committee, every quarter within the quarter reports, we report on both maritime and air combat expenditure, both on the normal fund as well as expenditure occurred on the special defense account. And within serial 6 of the slide, the expenditure figures for quarter 1 of 2020 are reflected. And SECDEF through the presentation indicated details regarding to the sea hours and flying hours. And we always endeavor to provide the committee with a holistic view on these hours to provide previous year's hours and reasons for under expenditure as well as current situation. And the challenges relating to flying hours, the performance of. But what we should remember is that both the hours are mainly dependent on specific tasks, and we report progress or full achievement thereon during the annual report for the year under review. I did touch on the SA Navy frigate and submarine update and the modern military force in my introduction by indicating the interdependencies there on the whole COE-SDI scenario that defence is currently faced with. Thanks, Chairperson and SECDEF.
Okay, so that's the presentation, colleagues. SECDEF, are we done? Do you want to add something?
I think Chairperson, she's covered everything, and also I think what the reason why we ask is because historically she's followed the issue of the BRRR And I think that she was really the best place at this point in time to be able to deal with that. But I think we are ready maybe for any issues of clarity to respond to.
No, thank you so much. But we don't have that presentation, do we? Can we have it circulated?
Well, what we have there is we included in the quarterly report, if you will check, is slide number 61.
But in a summarized yes. Fashion.
Okay. We are able to make the presentation available. I think that our colleagues will send it to yourself, Chairperson. We will circulate it to all the members.
Chairperson, we have that presentation that was just presented to us, but I think you are referring to the more detailed information that was given now and the discussions that was given, because that summary, we have got it on the slide 51 and 52, but I think you're referring to more information than only what are on the slide. Chairperson is now gone, seems to be.
We seem to have lost the chair. Could Honourable Motley assist with chairing the meeting?
I'm available, Chair. What's happening? Am I audible?
Yes, you are, but the chair seems to be at lost contact, so if you can take over. Otherwise, if you leave the gap to me, I'll take it. Don't be surprised.
Yeah, I don't know. It's fine. We'll proceed. I think we have just received that part of the presentation. I think now it's time for honorable members to interact with that. But I have a suggestion. Can we just cover the next part so that when we deal with the entire presentation, the BRR part.
As well as the irregular.
Yes, the BRR part and the irregular, so that they present and will interact with them.
I agree. I support you.
Okay. I agree. Am I audible now?
Oh, you are back, Chair. Yeah, no, no.
Okay. No, I agree with your approach. I'm now back. Thank you
yeah,
so much.
No.
Chair, you're not the chair anymore now. Mr. Mutley is now the chair.
Yes. No. It's fine. Now I'm back, honourable members.
You can continue, Chair. We were just saying let them present the last two items so that when we interact with both.
It's fine. I'm happy with that. Thank you so much.
Chairperson, can I make a suggestion?
Yes, Secretary.
I consulted with my colleagues. I think that we do have a separate standalone item on the issues of the irregular expenditure. I think there are sensitivities in terms of the points where the investigations are. And if you could oblige us, we would have like a situation where we can do that in a closed session without anybody else from outside, unless then we are assured that we are on our own, the colleagues then can talk, but if then it's also open to public, I would rather prefer that on the irregular expenditure we deal with it separately, unless then if you prefer that we then deal with the issues of the BRRR now, or then we conclude with whatever it is, then take that and then take the discussions together with the BRRR. I think we are at your disposal in terms of whatever decision you take, Chair. Thank you.
All right, colleagues, let me hear you. There is a proposal that the investigations are ongoing and very sensitive. And have you, let me just check first. Have you concluded the investigation, Sector?
Well, advanced to some of them, they've come back to us and they have been further referrals. So some of them, not all, have been concluded.
Not all have been concluded. But are you talking to those that have been concluded that you prefer to brief us in camera? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, we prefer to brief you in camera. We've got seven of those on our list, Jefferson.
That have been concluded.
Well, that are under investigation because I think the intention is to give you an update as to where we stand and what is next that's going to happen. So we do have about seven of those.
I see.
Right. And then as I did say that in our quarterly report, some of those that reflect on our quarterly report will be part of these because then we continue to pay since the contracts are still ongoing.
Correct, yes. Yes, no, it's fine. Colleagues, can I hear what you have to say on this request?
Chair?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes.
In terms of the rule, at this point we cannot close the meeting because you must apply first for a closed session. However, I maybe the fact that can share the light with us. Why do they want it closed? Because we don't want the details of those cases in terms of evidence, so forth and so on, that will interfere with the ongoing investigation. We just want to hear progress with regard to those investigations.
Thank yes. You. And any other colleagues? Any other comment? Can you unmute Mr. Mafanya? Please unmute. Can you hear? Is Mr. Mafanya audible, colleagues?
No, he's not. No, he's not. Not.
All right.
Not.
Mr. Mafanya, you are not audible. I understand your problem. What you need to do, just start afresh. Exit and then come back. I think your system is frozen. Right. Any other comments, correct, colleagues?
Chairperson, from my side, just I want to support Honourable Mutle. Yes, and I will appreciate if there are details that you want to give us, Sector. Yes, then we respect the need for a closed session. But I think at this stage, it is in terms of your presentation that we want the information. And as Honourable Mutle said, you know, the progress without the details necessarily in an open session, you know, we respect that that confidentiality. And we don't want to push you for that, but there are certain oversight responsibilities and accountabilities that we have to include in our report back to Parliament as well. Thank you very much.
No, it's fine. No, thanks so much. SECDEF, I think the colleagues have explained our position. It's very difficult to close a meeting, I must say. It's in the Constitution, that our meetings must be public. And that you can only close them. It is justifiable in a democratic and open society. I'm not quoting it verbatim, but that's what the Constitution says. Hence, when you apply to the Speaker, you must then indicate what is it, what are these imperatives that really force you to close the meeting when we should be holding it in public. But all you need to do, we don't need names, you can tell us the story, the progress report, without divulging the names.
Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I've consulted with the colleagues. They will give you progress reports. And let me also say, Chairperson, that with me, I've got Admiral Maphoto and General Buhari, our IG, that have been actually at the center of the investigation of these issues that we're going to talk about. They are happy to present the progress that has been made on these issues to this meeting. And so if it is okay, Chairperson, we'll allow them to do that presentation.
Yes, got it. Maphoto is Provost Marshal. All right, over to you. Yes, over to you, General. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's Admiral.
Admiral. I'll get it right one day.
Okay.
Okay, over to you, Admiral.
Thank you, through the sector. The matters of investigation sometimes it's difficult to do them in a democratic and open society, but we will do that so that we give progress on the seven cases that were actually referred back for inquiries from the AGSA. This is the status report on the irregular and fruitless expenditure investigations. I must say up front, Chair, that this collaborative and cooperation efforts that is taken amongst investigators, that takes from the military police, the Inspector General of the DOD, the Special Investigation Units, plus the SIU, the HAWKS, and certain forensic organizations that we use to try and get information. I start with the first one. It's the contract on asset management that was done by a company called PwC. And at the current moment, the amount that was mentioned was about 604 million. And then they say now we have got the forensic company that is dealing with this matter that was appointed on the 2nd of June, and the investigation has commenced on the 24th of June. So it's ongoing. Then the other one, the investigation is ongoing. As the second one, not going to be calling the names of those that are under investigation, but this one is done by the logistic division in the Defense Force has done a preliminary investigation. We are investigating an amount of almost four million. No, sorry, 339, and the
million,
339 million, yes.
Okay, thanks.
We have approached the National Treasury to utilize a panel of their forensic investigators. At this moment, maybe it's due to COVID challenges, we are still awaiting their response. There is a contract that is under investigation by the the IG that we talked, that looks at the amount of 239 million. The case was registered with IG on the 20th, but it had to do with the TLCM contract. The first one is an ICT services and licenses. According to the description, these were not evaluated according to the criteria stipulated, and we are investigating an amount of about 216.7. This case, the president has given a proclamation, which we had a case in the defense force that we have handed over to the SIU. According to their information, investigation is complete, and there is some being briefed the Secretary for Defense that on a meeting that the SIU want to discuss on what is happening. I think in further meetings you'll be able to give that feedback on what is it that are the new developments in that case. Fifth is the non-compliance with mandatory pre-qualifying criteria, investigating an amount of about 105 million. The case is under investigation, but as we said, it's under an advanced stage. It's now between the investigators and the prosecutors at the Commercial Crimes Court, whom must give direction as to whether the case goes now for trial or there's other further information that they want in terms of investigation. Sixth in the list is the incorrect evaluation process for spare parts and storage that is for the ships in Cape Town. Case is is now the investigation is finalized, and the case docket was referred back to the Commercial Crimes Court in Belleville for a decision to prosecute and also maybe charge those who are found to be thereof. If you looked at what I presented, mostly those were cases where we've got a case administration number besides the one of the IG. So this one was a police investigation. Last one is the fruitless and wasteful expenditure that talks to the Echo Park list properties that were unutilized between for almost 4 years. There's a board of inquiry that was finalized and submitted to the Adjutant General for him to review, and he subsequently referred this case back to Chief of Logistics for additional information. So there we are talking about an amount of about 108 million. This is the cases that we have for your indulgence, Chairperson. Thank you.
No, thank you so much. Sekdef, do you want to add before I ask my colleagues to comment?
I think we can go ahead, Chairperson, and hear the questions. I think that's at least that's the progress the colleagues wanted to give.
Okay, no, thanks. Colleagues, the two matters are on the table. May I invite your comments?
Chairperson, just from tonight, just on the sixth one, the evaluation of the spare parts, I didn't got that amount. But I just want to say, I mean, that amount can be given, but if we look at the seven cases, it's roughly R1 billion. And with our current predicament, R1 billion makes a huge difference in the defense budget. So when you've got irregular and fruitless expenditure, I mean, if there are anybody that are guilty and that you can recover costs, obviously this makes it justified and worthwhile. I just wanted to go back to the BRRR, if you don't mind, as we're going to deal with this both. In terms of the presentation that was given to us, I want to say I rest my case. As I've said earlier, you know, the information, I mean, this is a huge predicament, and I think the SecDef has stated that, and that makes it even more important what the SecDef has promised to us to come back and let's look at this. I mean, there's also a link to our Joint Standing Committee on Defense workshop tomorrow. So it has got all to do with that. And my request is that we don't even wait for November, because, you know, if we can deal with it in the BRRR process, I mean, this has got a major impact on the Defence Force and South Africa's integrity. And I'm really concerned, and I can only say, you know, we are aware of these cases and we are aware of these realities. That is not only coming from now, it's coming from a quite a long time, and it is escalated now up to a point that even National Treasury is making the situation not better but worse. And it seems like it is up to us and the Defence Force team to go and sit and say, you know, we now need to be cruel to be kind to our nation. And that's all that I can say. I mean, I've raised the issues, and I think it's only a confirmation of what we have said, the seriousness of this.
Okay, thanks. Any other colleagues?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I acknowledge the process with this investigation, but most of these cases under investigation, Chair, and I hope they will agree with me, is because of the fact that they are not maintained accurate and complete records. There's clear guidelines, Chair, in the PFMA. And if there's a problem with record keeping, it is a challenge for the AG to obtain audit evidence. So my question, Chair, then, is do the department have enough capacity in the department? And all, how effective and efficient is the internal audit committee? And why was it difficult for the AG to obtain evidence for tangible capital assets? Then, Chair, there was irregular expenditure to amount of 3.5 billion for 2018-19. And it is an increase from previous years. And in some instances, the AG's office was unable to determine the full extent of irregular expenditure. But if there's no movement or outcome in those investigations, Chair, those irregular expenditure will always reflect on the audit outcome. And I hear what they're saying, but what are the challenges for them not finalizing most of this investigation? And do they charge any official on some of the findings, especially on those not following guidelines of the PFMA? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. Mr. Mafanya? Experiencing a problem, what could it be?
I think it could be his gadget, because when I look at this system, he is unmuted, so it could be the gadget.
Perhaps
he needs to restart, log out and then try to log in again.
Okay, I'm sure he is listening to that. Don't use old gadgets, Mr. Mafanya. I'm joking. Okay, I sympathize with you, with him. I hope he would be able to come back again. All right, Thabo, you wanted to say something? Honorable Thabo Mutle?
Yes, Chair. Thank you again. Yeah, I wanted to raise a matter on the presentation, not necessarily on the progress report of investigated cases, more so on the internal processes of the department with regard to this fruitless and irregular expenditure. I'm just trying to open that presentation. I think it's just the last slide before the BRRR feedback, where they've identified, and I know some of the progress report has been given by Admiral Mapoto. I hope I got the rank correct this time.
Yes, Admiral Mapoto. Yes, Mapoto.
Yeah. Which speaks of the amount is 39 million, and the second one is the extension of contract with more than 15% without National Treasury approval for quarterly survey fees for refurbishment of 1 mean. Now, without waiting for an investigation, what is it that the department internally is doing to ensure that, because these are not the first irregulars. There have been many irregulars before, but because there's no consequential management or disciplinary action enforced or taken against those who transfer, that is why they continue to happen over and over again. And second, you must step up and ensure that these things they do not happen under your watch. Because if you are going to say you're awaiting investigation whilst people have transgressed, and you know they have transgressed, I mean, if people approve against Treasury regulation, do you need an investigation to prove that they've transgressed? Or you need an investigation to say so and so transgressed? Because these are the people that sit in committees, these are the people that sit in supply chain, so forth. You know very well who are these people, but you want an investigation to apply consequence management or take disciplinary action against those internally without those criminal investigations. So that is another process. For example, points awarded for functionality were incorrectly calculated for a 3-year garden contract at the Castle of Good Hope. Do you need an investigation, or do you know who these people are, who calculated? This might be small things that if you don't deal with them as early as possible, they are going to cost the department a lot in the future, because you commit such mistake, you know, nothing happens. Tomorrow you commit serious mistake worth millions and millions of and you see, it is such acts that probably give Treasury powers to continue cutting your budget, because you seem not to be eager to use these finances prudently, so to the latter, so to say. I'm just mentioning, but if you look at the procurement processes not followed for the construction and building of a dividing swimming pool for training, why were these processes not followed? Who did not follow these processes? do you need a criminal investigation or internally? Okay, maybe my question must say, what is it that you are doing internally to ensure that this, those who commit this transgression are disciplined or there are consequences management against them? And what is it that you are putting in place as a system to ensure that this does not happen? And this also speaks to your internal audit, which is unable to pick. Probably you must then change the system before there's an appointment. Maybe your documents, let's say for an example, you want to procure tissues, for an example. Before you appoint, why can't the document go via internal audit so that they check that everything is in accordance with the prescripts of the supply chain and the law generally? They will tick the box, then you continue. As opposed to appointing, rendering them useless, waiting for AG to come and pick up this gray area. So, yeah, I'd like to hear from the sector what is it that they are doing with regard to this point that I've raised. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you so much. Mr. Mafanya, we are back now.
Yes,
good, thanks. We can hear you now.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm covered by the Honorable Mutle. The only question is I wanted to find out is that the people who are implicated, were they suspended or are they suspended? If suspended, are they suspended with pay? Or more on consequence management, that's all that I wanted to say. So a lot has been covered by the Honorable Mutle.
All right. Okay. I think colleagues, the last two colleagues, SECDEF, are separating the issues. Separating the issues. There are issues for criminal investigation and there's no problem waiting for the justice system to deal with those cases. You know, we are aware that sometimes the wheels of justice can be so slow, all right? But there are departmental processes where people can be, you know, disciplined and then acted upon even before we wait for the courts and all that. It is in that context that Mr. Mafanya is asking, what is the situation? Are these people, were these people, you know, brought before, charged internally, disciplined? If they are on suspension, are they on suspension with pay and all that? I think that was the reason for the questions. I think they tie in with Mr. Mutle's question as well. And colleagues, now those questions are on the table for the replies. Secretary, over to you, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
Chairperson, just with your indulgence, there are just two issues on our BRRR report that is not included in this presentation today. There was two issues that pertain to the first quarter reports of this year. The one was the engagement between the Minister of Defence and the Minister of Finance with regards to further engagement and finances. And then the second one was a rejuvenation plan for the 2021 year that has also not been addressed in the BRRR feedback.
So those are outstanding, and obviously it was specifically in our report that it should be part of the first quarterly report, and it must be implemented in this financial year. So those are just not part of what I've seen on the BRRR.
All right, fine. They will respond to that as well. Over to you, colleagues. Over to you, Secretary.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Can I start with the issue of the capital assets? I think that there was a question posed in relation to the tangible assets. Let me also state that for the financial year 2017 and 2018, yes, this was a challenge, in particular when it has to do with the record. However, these challenges have been resolved, and just to state that in the current financial year, this matter has been sorted out with the auditor within this audit cycle. So the issues of the tangible assets are currently not so much of a problem for us. They have been resolved. On the issue of I think that was raised by Honorable Marais. I'll ask the colleagues to come on the other one. Yes, if you look at the historical irregular expenditure, they struggled from the year 2015 to about 2018, so they have been carrying over for a period of three financial years. So now we are actually in the fourth financial year. So, of course, yes, it has been quite a while, but we have received the progress, and largely most of them, they talk to the issues where the criminal justice system has kicked in. So I think we would await those processes. Earlier on, I did say, Chairperson, that in the current irregular expenditure for this financial quarter, it amounts to 51 million, and part of those are the ones that you talked about, the one of the swimming pool. As you would know, Chairperson, I think that this is an issue that our Navy has had over a period of 15 years, and then at one stage they came to say that it needed to be looked at. So that's where it was said that the beach not evaluated by the beach committee. It seemed as if it was an issue for that was urgent in their opinion. And then the other one was the issue where the points were incorrectly calculated. And if you look at it, I think these are our own internal processes. I must also concede that with those ones, we should have had, because there are things within the ambit of the department that we could have done something about. So these ones, there hasn't been any consequence management processes that have been taken within the department. I think it's a matter that we would look into. I just also want to agree with the points that are raised by both Honorable Mutle and Honorable Mafanya. One of the things, Chairperson, the role of the internal auditor is at the beginning of each financial year. They must commit to the number of internal audits that they will conduct. Because then when you do that, then by the time the Auditor General comes, they would have made specific recommendations on the issues of concern from their side. So even Auditor General will look whether the department did its bit in terms of implementing the recommendations of the internal audit. I did say that I'm told that for the period of 2 years, the position of an internal auditor has been vacant, and we are now looking at the process of trying to fill in those vacancies, and I'm hoping that we'll do that. However, also in my interaction with the internal audit, I understand that we have about, out of 97 that we should have, we have around 60. And all those ones that we have, they've got to do audits for the size of the Department of Defense. So what their problem has been is that they commit to the independent audit committee how many audits they will conduct for the year. And in most instances, they haven't been able to actually deliver on their commitments due to the internal auditors being insufficient. So it's also a matter of capacity. We also admit that maybe as a department, we will need to also focus more on risk management, because if we identify our areas of risk, we are then able to put mitigating measures in place. And if we mitigate where we think they are risks, I think that some of our problems will be a little bit less, because like it is correctly pointed out, our internal audit should have found out that some of these procurement processes were not followed, and come then with a recommendation where consequence management would have been implemented. And unfortunately, that hasn't happened. So we have, and I specifically have to pick the pieces from where I gather them. And I thought that maybe on those issues, we need to deal that, and we will see how far we are able to deal with the issues. But really, I think that we need to look at how we beef up our internal audit capacity. I would allow the colleagues maybe to come on the BRRR issues that have been raised. I am not so sure about the meeting between the minister and the Minister of Finance, but I do know for sure that at officers level, there are always ongoing interactions with our colleagues from National Treasury. And this is on an ongoing basis. It's not a start and finish process, because the issues themselves are also ongoing. So I would allow our colleagues, do you want to speak on the rejuvenation?
I think what we have, since we discussed the rejuvenation last time with the workshop, we promised that we will then come back and then do some kind of reappreciation and also present the portfolio committee.
Yes, General, I think that matter is at hand and is receiving attention. I agree with you. We may skip it.
I can just maybe say that there was a meeting with the minister. I think that meeting took place last year. The three ministers, CBSA, the Minister of Finance, and the Minister of Defense, where we discussed the issues that they were confronting the budget, the COE, and the budget of the department. So in terms of that minister, there were certain recommendations that were made that it should come up with a rejuvenation, should come up with a survival with a strategy in terms of how I'm going to go forward in trying to mitigate against the ever reducing our budget, and that was the situation. So we are still between those in interactions with National Treasury, and part of the ongoing discussion with them. We know that the position has not been changed, and we will be able to be, when we come back after we have reappreciated our position, we're going to be able to come back and give some kind of the way forward as well as the vice president.
Yes, no, I agree with that position. In fact, the position is not good. The financial situation of the department and of the country is not likely to change anytime soon. So we must brace ourselves with staying with what has been allocated to us. Departments must remain within their budget, and then not bank on a future meeting that may result on anything. It's clear now. The situation is bad. When we took this decision, we did not have the economy that was not doing well. We did not have COVID, and we also did not have the situation where so much, about 500 billion rand, was redirected to combat COVID. So the situation in the country is very bad. So I'm saying I think we need to change our tech now and start to look at what we have and see how best we can remain within our own allocations. And one of the measures that we must take is to curtail, stop this what you call irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditures. And you were still continuing, Sector?
Yes, Chair. I'll hand over to Admiral Maphoto, who wanted to react to some of the comments.
Correct. Admiral?
Thank you, Chair. I think from the first one was the amount that was missed on number 6, which was about 59 million.
59 million.
Yeah, but maybe I just want to question the way in which Honorable Mare was doing the, or whether his assumption or the calculation that this would amount to something like a billion. In terms of the cumulative number, you might find that certain of these, that's why there's an investigation, certain of these amounts are not really the way that it is, and this money that was correctly paid. That is why we've got this investigation. So between the year 2015 and whether it's last year or the last financial year, there's a system in the Defence Force that actually we've got committees that look at how, if this was indeed a fruitless, wasteful or irregular expenditure. And I think if we do our job correctly, you will find that once, by the time you get to investigation, certain of these amounts are no longer the same. So it will tell you that some that was paid correctly and the some that we are still going to have to investigate to find out exactly. So what should probably happen is, as you are saying, I agree with the SecDef about the capacity. Capacitating of the internal bodies, although it's very, very, very minimal or limited on the ground, with the work that the Defence Force is doing, it will be very difficult for them to cover everywhere we will go. But I think I will support that maybe we move faster in terms of capacitating them. Committees that we have, they look at all these processes, and once the case goes through a criminal process, that's where now we don't just rush into charging people. It's the prosecutors that find that there is a prima facie case where some members then are put to account, and those are the ones that are going to be charged. And I can say that that's why we didn't want to give the details. There is where we are going to find those that are going to be charged and are going to be held responsible for that. So the implicated, I think, the number of implicated persons were taken to task. So I think let me then leave it at that. But in terms of the challenges which Honorable Peters spoke about, we've got good cooperation amongst the entities that deals with this investigation, especially from the police side and the military side. And I think that's why I'm saying that even the SIU is giving us a lot of assistance in terms of this. I'll leave it at that, Chair. Thank you so much.
We just have the last comment and then we hand over to you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary Chairperson. Just to conclude on the BOOR, Honorable Murray was correct to indicate that two issues were not addressed in the departmental feedback to the committee, and those dealt with recommendations by the committee made to the Minister of Finance and Minister of Defence. they will do the normal quarterly report process on this level. We could not address those issues within this report, but HR did mention our information there on to the committee. In terms of the rest of the 8 recommendations, for the convenience of the committee and full disclosure, I will again provide full details as per the way we indicated it during the presentation to the committee for your information.
Okay.
Chairperson, we submit.
Thank you so much, Sekdef. The Admiral Maphoto said that the President has proclaimed an SIU investigation in the department. When was that proclamation made? That's the question from my side. Before I close the discussion, when was it, Admiral? The SIU proclamation to investigate. I think that was ICT in the department.
Yes, it's the one of ICT Chairperson, and it was done last year. I will not have the exact month, but I can provide the figures last year somewhere in June.
Okay. No. Okay. No, but that's fine. We'll look at it. No, thank you very much, Sekdef. I think you have covered all the issues. Colleagues, is there any issue that was left uncovered and attended to? Any question that was not replied to? In my view, it doesn't look like. Thank you very much, Sekdef, that you are attending to the internal audit capacity. I think there was no will in the past to attend to internal audit capacity. I hear now that the post are 49, I can't remember, but plus or minus 40 that have been filled. If you could attend to concluding the filling of those posts, including appointing of the procurement, was it the internal auditor, you said? Yes, if you can attend to that and close it. And the risk indeed it remains an issue, and it's a matter that I know that the risk reports to you directly, accounting office, while the internal the audit reports to the accounting office. Sorry, the chief financial office. I don't know. I thought that was the arrangement. And so these are the areas that put us in the situation that we are in today. And that, in my view, had actually, you know, motivated Treasury not to listen to any request for more funding from the Department of Defense. There are two issues. Is the issue of you attending to the AG reports that there have been a number of audit queries, repeated findings that the department was never willing to address them, and until just recently, where we really stepped in and said no, you must attend to these audit findings. Why would you have repeat findings for 3-4 years and nothing is done about it? I mean, that was very bad. Yeah. And then one. And then the second item, Sekdef, was the SDA account. And you see, Treasury said, look, the SDA account was meant to address the issues that the department said it was meant to address. But the Treasury was seeing it more and more being used to subsidize the personnel cost. You know, funds being moved away from SDA to COE. And then they said, look, here we place a ceiling that your COE must be this much and not more, but you still raid the SDA account and move funds from it to fund the COE, then there's no point of giving you SDA account. I when they started, you know, cutting down on it, I said, well, look, this, the department invited it upon itself because it stopped being money earmarked for acquisition when they started moving a significant portion of it to fund the budget overruns against the compensation of employees. So that's the situation. And my last point, SECDEF, is that I think we will you know, get there, and we are meeting in the next term to look at the 75,000 strength that is 75,000 soldier strength that is being talked about in terms of the force design and the force levels, because that's where the problem is. And you also have your own problem in terms of your public sector, what you call public service employees. I don't know how you stand in relation to that, whether you are not, you don't have people who are in excess of the establishment. And I think you need to investigate into that so that you purify your own personnel. So and then remain with what you need, not what you need plus what plus people who are in excess, because we now have realized that that's where the leakage is. That's where a lot of money is going into personnel and crowding out other activities in the department. With that, colleagues, I'm happy to thank the department for their presentation today, and say we will meet again when they come to us sometime in October or early November to give us their presentation, their proposals on how they contain on the measures that they would adopt to contain overrun, the budget overrun, as it were. So with that, let me thank you, SECDEF. Maybe you may want to wrap up and then take leave. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think that we have noted the issues that have been raised by the honourable members, and I think that we'll begin to work on them. And then, of course, we have made a commitment that we'll revert back to you, because I think that, yes, we are appreciative of the fact that the funds are going to be thinner and thinner as we get along. So from our side, we just need also to sink our teeth into whether it's the issues of the post-establishment and also how we deal with the other matters. And I think that we still maintain that maybe we need to come to you to show you where we are at and what problems we are and where we think that maybe you may play a role in terms of what we will put forward as a proposal as we go on.
No, thank you so much, SECDEF. And so you stand released, so you may take leave at any time you so wish. That goes to your team as well. Thank you so much. We now have to look at the last item on the agenda is the fourth term program. And colleagues, the fourth term program is still under consideration. The reason we have not finalized the draft is because the committee section in Parliament, the chair of committees, hasn't come back to us with a plan for the fourth term. We don't know how many weeks will be given in the fourth term, and in those weeks, how many would be set aside for oversight visit and so on and so forth. So far we have issues, and we plead, if you agree, to that you accept that we'll communicate a draft through WhatsApp as soon as we get an indication from the office of the chair of committees giving us an outline for what, let me say, giving us a framework for the fourth term, because we must then operate within the frame as it were. And Brian, have we received that framework? Is that? The last time we spoke, you had not received it.
Chair, we are yet to receive the guidelines.
Yes. All right. Colleagues, we are yet to receive the guidelines. Do you agree with me when I asked for your indulgence on the matter, that we do have issues and largely arising from the meetings that we have conducted in the past for follow-up in the next term, and two, the next term will be dominated by the interrogation of the audit reports, but we can't produce a program for now until we have those guidelines, the framework as it were. Colleagues, agreed?
Thank you, sir.
Yes, so agreed. We'll defer the issue to the new term, but we'll be communicating on WhatsApp for ideas. We'll put forward our own ideas and invite you to give us your own ideas so that when I present it in the new term, more or less the input from all of you. Colleagues, is there anything outstanding there before we close the meeting?
Thank you very much, sir.
Okay, we are fine.
You are fine, thanks. Okay, colleagues, we are all fine. So tomorrow we are meeting. It's a symposium. Tomorrow is Wednesday, it's Thursday. Yeah, so from 6 to 9 p.m. I thought I should just report that. It's a meeting of the Joint Standing Committee on Defense. All right. We've invited the academics who have gladly accepted our invitation to come and talk to us on force designs, on the force design topic. All right, colleagues, thank you very much for your participation. We'll meet again tomorrow and in the next term, after tomorrow. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Meeting is adjourned.